Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host of Table Flippers Podcast, Robert Enos. And I'm back. You know, there's been a lot going on in my own personal life. As a matter of fact, we've been doing a lot of, we've been doing some traveling. And we just got back last week. We were in Missouri. That's the southern portion of Missouri. So if you're from Missouri or Missouri, I think you'll understand that. But anyways, we were in Branson, beautiful town, beautiful city. And we were there for a minister's retreat. And it was a fantastic retreat. Great people in a great location, great resort grounds. And, oh, let me tell you, we went to the Sight and Sound Theater there in Branson and saw the play David. It's about the life and story of David from the Bible, King David. And what a spectacular presentation. I mean, it was fabulous. And I would highly suggest that if anybody gets to go to Branson or in that area, please go see at the Sight and Sound Theater in Branson. I think there's other theaters, Sight and Sound theaters throughout the country, just a few of them. And I'm not sure if they play the same play at the same time, but we've now seen two. I've only been to that theater one time, and we've seen David just last week. And we saw Daniel at our local movie theater that was produced and published or put out by Sight and Sound. Both of them were fantastic, but being there was spectacular. What a phenomenal, top-of-the-line, very professional setting the entire theater is. And the production, the acting, the singing, everything was top-notch. And especially the special effects for a theater, man, what a spectacular show and presentation. It was fantastic. So I highly suggest it, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, I believe you can see, I'm not sure what service it is, Netflix, what is it? Anyways, one of these, just look it up. You can find it, Google it, and figure out where you can see the Sight and Sound productions like David. There's David and Daniel, the ones that I know of at least, Jesus, and that's one I really want to see. And watch them. You can watch them on TV. You can watch them on your set. Some of the local movie theaters will even at times play them, which where we saw Daniel. So spectacular. Please go see it. It was phenomenal. It was fantastic. It was terrific all the way around. And it was really great to be in that setting with great people. And, you know, there's just been so much going on in my life and what my wife and I have been experiencing and doing. And we've just been getting busier and busier and busier and good busy. And so, you know, we've been here and there and jumping all around. And so now I'm really trying to hammer out some things. Okay, God, what do I need to do? What is it you really want me to do? That's what I want to do. I want to do what God wants me to do. And all the other stuff, you know, I'm just going to have to cut out of my life. Like, for instance, this podcast. I know I haven't been on here as hardly at all. And I'm bummed out about it because I really not only love doing this, but I feel like this is something I'm really supposed to do. So I'm going to be moving some things around, cutting some things out of my life and getting down, as they would say, to the nitty gritty and making this thing happen. So, because there's so much to talk about and so much going on in our world that we just need to address and we need to hear other voices and other opinions, even if you don't agree with them. We just need to hear another side than just the mainstream media or what you pick up on, you know, on social media. As a matter of fact, even my social media presence, I haven't really been on. I mean, I have. I get on social media, especially in the evening when I'm just trying to wind down, and I just flip through everything aimlessly and argue with some people. If you see me on there, I'm arguing with somebody because there's so much nonsense. There always has been, but there's so much nonsense right now on Facebook and Instagram, and I'm not really much of an Instagrammer. I don't fully get it. I mean, I flip through the pictures and the things like that, but I don't really get it. You know, I guess Facebook gives me a better platform to argue with people on. I don't know. You know, I'm maybe my kids tell me it's because I'm old. I'm not old. I'm years old. That's not very old, is it? So, anyways, I just see, and for me, it's hard for me not to say something when I see complete and total foolishness or flat lies. And one of the ones, as a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, maybe I'll do a whole podcast on this someday, and that's veganism. So I want to tell you a little bit about veganism from my perspective and what I see. But before I do, I put vegans into two categories. Okay, there's the category that eats all vegetables, plant-based diet, because in their opinion, in their mind, what they've learned, whatever, they feel that's a healthier option for them. So they're just vegans because, well, that's just what they want, that's what they like, and they want to be healthy in their mindset. I don't have a problem with that group at all. Choose the diet that you want. You know, I disagree that it's the healthier version or the healthier diet, but that's just my disagreement. That's my opinion. That's what I know, what I see. But if that's what you choose and that's what you're going to eat, go for it. Now, the other side of the vegans, which seems to be the larger group, and I don't know, maybe it's only because they're the vocal group, is more of the activist vegan. You know, you see them all over Facebook and you see them all over. Sometimes they even have billboards and things like that. And the people that treat animals as if they're just as important as people. And I see this all the time on social media and different places, but primarily on social media. Well, you know, they show a picture of a pig. This is a person that had a family too, and you destroyed this person and this person's family just so you could have bacon. You're a terrible person. I mean, it's really weird. It's really strange to me. And so I saw one literally just this morning. I was just kind of waking up, flipping through, you know. My wife always tells me, don't look at social media first thing in the morning. It sets the tone of your day. That's why I'm very argumentative all day long, because I look at social media. I'm sorry. That just kind of cracked me up. I love my own jokes, even though my own jokes are stupid. I know they are, but that's why they're funny to me. But anyways, so I was just flipping through it. I saw the picture of the pig, and the meme or the post was calling this pig a person, and the rest of us who eat bacon and I don't even eat pork. And that's the funny thing about it. I don't eat pork. I just stay away from pork, okay? It's not very healthy for you. So I choose to stay away from pork, not because I'm a vegan and I think that's a person, but because I just don't think it's very healthy. Anyways, so I go to the dictionary. I'm just going to look at this, you know? So I type in my little online dictionary, person. And it gives me the definition for a person. And the first thing is a human being. A person is a human being, not an animal, not a pig, not a bug, not a cow, not a cute little puppy dog. Now, we have our little dog, Mambo. We love him. He's like a family member. But I don't even think of him as a person in that regard. He's not on the same level as human beings. So here's his little pig. And, you know, so I just kind of cut and paste the dictionary definition. So I don't have to sit there and argue with you. You want to argue with it? Go argue with Merriam-Webster. So I cut and pasted on there and say, you know, I'm sorry, but you guys keep calling these animals people and persons. And that's the problem with you guys. You have either elevated animals to a place they don't belong, or you've lowered human beings to a place they don't belong. You see, especially in God's order. And here's, I guess this is where it comes down to. Is it's a very kind of weird, I don't know, I guess you could say atheistic, maybe agnostic kind of mentality to be a vegan on that kind of vegan, the activist kind of vegan, making animals and little piggies and little duckies and little chickies and, you know, put them on the same level as human beings. But, you know, it's so weird to me, these same vegans, and I'm not going to say 100% of them, of course, but they tend to be more liberal-minded people, you know, left-leaners, liberal-minded. why is it, and I still don't understand this. I can't figure this out for the life of me. But why is it that they fight for the so-called right to murder unborn children through this process called abortion, yet at the same time, they'll fight to save a piggy or a ducky or a chickie and put them on the level, on the same level as being a person, but not an unborn human being? Now, I was watching this, or having a discussion with somebody. Oh, well, that's a fetus. It's not a human. So I looked up, again, I went to the dictionary. What does a dictionary call a fetus? And you know what that is? A fetus is an undeveloped, or developing, I should say, developing human baby in the womb. Human baby. But for in their mind, because it's still in its developmental stage, it's not a human. And which is weird, because the way I look today at 58 years old, there's my age of 58. I'm 58 years old. The way I look today is not the way I looked when I came out of my womb. So I have, for the last 58 years, continued to develop. Some people would say backwards, some would say forward, but nonetheless, I'm still developing. And I'm sure that this is going to continue until I breathe my last, just like every other human being. So the reality of it is, the moment of conception, when the sperm attaches itself or enters into the egg, and the egg attaches itself to the uterus. Am I getting my biology right? Anyways, to the inside of a woman. from that moment, that is a developing human being. Somebody called it, well, it's just a blob of cells. Well, at 58 years old, outside of the womb, I'm still a blob of human cells. So I don't really understand this, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't. It's a wickedness without an explanation, or just a wickedness with, I don't know how else to say it, without an explanation. I mean, you know, wickedness is wickedness. You don't really need an explanation. But at least people that are engaged in other forms of wickedness can give some types of explanation. I still have not really heard a real good explanation for the wickedness that we call abortion. I know people say, well, I've heard some people say, well, it's for convenience. If that woman doesn't want it, get rid of it. So you want the right, ladies and gentlemen, not you and me personally, but there are people out there that want the right, the so-called right, to murder their own unborn child. And that's supposed to be a right protected by law. You know, as a matter of fact, even in the United States of America, and Joe Biden and his administration tried to pass these laws and such that people could be arrested if they're standing outside of abortion clinic praying or protesting the murder of human babies. In the UK right now, they could have literally hundreds of Muslims on their prayer mats in the streets, shutting down traffic, stopping businesses, and they could be out there praying at their time of prayer, and nobody's allowed to do anything. But you get a Christian to stand outside of an abortion clinic and simply pray, they'll come by and arrest you. I've seen these videos of that. I've seen these people being harassed by police, questioned by police, and hauled off by police. And listen, I'm going to tell you guys something, and this is not only for you guys in the UK, but here in the United States of America, you police officers and such, I don't really care what your governors, what the president says about it. I don't care what the governor says, what your mayor says, or what your chief of police says. If you are so disgusting, so vile, that you're going to go arrest somebody who's peacefully praying outside of an abortion clinic, I don't care what the law says. I don't care what they have on the books in D.C. or in your state capital. I don't care. What I care about is, number one, the law and the love of God and the sanctity of life. So any cop, any officer, any sheriff deputy that goes arrest somebody for standing outside of an abortion clinic to try to stop or prevent abortions, how dare you? Well, it's my job. Yeah, the Nazis said that after World War II. I was just following orders. So you cowardly, wimp, weak, sick, sick-hearted, empty police officers that are out rounding up people, typically Christians, out front of abortion clinics. How disgusting are you? You put your job and your career above the word of God, the will of God, and above all things that are righteous and pure. And then you throw that whole Nazi mentality in there that all I'm doing is following orders. Disgusting. Disgusting. Anyways, I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did, because that needs to be said more and more and more and more and more. It's going to stop here. Those of you who in law enforcement, you need to say, I'm going to stand up for righteousness. I'll do my job. But when it comes to something unrighteous, like the arrest of some grandma who's out in front of an abortion clinic peacefully praying, and your superiors tell you to go arrest that one, you should quit before you do that. How dare you? You're not a man. You're not even, I wouldn't call you a human, but whatever. If you're a male, you're certainly not a man. Because a man puts what is right first, even above their own job. Think about that. Anyways, back to veganism. Back to veganism. So you got the, again, you got the one side where they do it just because that's their choice. They do it for health reasons, or maybe they just like to. Maybe they just love broccoli so much that that's all they want to eat. And that's fine. I'm okay with that group. I can go to lunch with them. I can hang out with them. The other group? No. Somebody asked, how do you know that person's a vegan? Because they enter the room within 5 minutes, everybody in the room is going to know it. These people are nuts. That level of veganism, not because they're vegans. Please don't misunderstand me. Not because they're vegans, but the reason why they're vegans on that side of it, the activism kind of side, it's a mental illness. It really is a mental illness. I was online and there was, again, another post, you know, and I have to say something. I don't know why, I just have to. Anyways, I started saying, so this guy starts arguing with me. And he was a friend of mine on my friends list from another country that I had visited and such. And apparently he's a vegan and one of those militant activist vegans that put animals on the same level as humans. But here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen, especially for those of you who are believers, you know, maybe you need to just kind of pay attention to this part just so you don't fall for this kind of nonsense. But anyways, he claimed to be a believer. Claimed to be a believer in Jesus, claimed to go to church, claimed to be in a good Bible-preaching church. And I said, well, wait a minute. Listen, if you choose to be a vegan for whatever reason, that's your choice. But the reasons that you're portraying here are unbiblical. And he argued with me, no. I go, then okay, let me ask you this. Then if because he was trying to tell me that God wanted everybody to be vegans. Okay, everybody's going to be vegans because God wants it. I said, well, then Jesus is a hypocrite because he's the one that was on the seashore several times broiling fish. So he ate the fish. He ate the lamb. He was a good Jewish boy. So he ate lamb, certainly ate fish. Jesus seemed to love fish because he was always broiling fish. He shows up even after his resurrection and goes, hey, you got any fish? You got any food? I'm kind of hungry, you know. And so if Jesus, who is the express image of God, the express image of the Father, says, give me some fish, or he's broiling up some fish for himself and for his partners, then to say that eating meat is a sin, well, that's just a fallacy. It's ridiculous. And he just kept going after that, and I could prove to him in the Word, and I was quoting Scripture and everything, but he was like talking like out in outer space. And that's why I say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, but veganism on that level, you see, people aren't vegans. I mean, the activist vegans, that's the one I'm talking about. Not the ones that just choose to and they don't bug anybody. I'm talking about the activist visions of vegans that put animals on the same level of human beings. See, they're not vegans like that because it's a healthier thing and they feel this and they want to go after it and that's just it. They're already mentally ill. They're dealing with some mental issues and they've just found their outlet in veganism because these guys are the same guys that, you know, part of PETA and all that. And they'll go splash red paint on fur coats or coats that look like it's real fur. They'll go and, you know, let all the animals out of a like a dog pound. We used to call them dog pounds. It's an animal shelter now. They'll let them all out. Oh, they should all be out. You know, these are the people that argue there should be no zoos. Now, whether you are, you know, in that place of, I don't think there should be zoos because it's, you know, I don't believe they should be doing that to animals, caging them up and such. Okay, that's fine. Do that. But they take it to such an extreme that if you go into a supermarket and you buy a pound of hamburger, you are next to Hitler. And their whole concept is nutty and weird. So, you know, anyways, those are the vegans that I really don't even like to be around. But they don't have the ability to put two and two together. You can't debate with them. All it is an argument, and they can't hear the other side. They can't hear what you have to say, you know. And honestly, you know, veganism, I've done a little bit of research, not a ton. I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I know enough about veganism that it's very difficult to really get a healthy vegan diet. You can, but it takes a lot of work. You have to know exactly what to eat, how much to eat, all of that stuff to get your protein and all your vitamins. And even still, because you lack the meat, animal products in your diet, there's a lot of vitamins and minerals and such that's very difficult to come by in a vegan world. So you have to take a lot of supplements. And it's not a better diet. I know a lot of people claim it. It's just not. It really is not. And so, you know, I wouldn't call myself a carnivore. I'm pretty much an omnivore, but I really love my meat. But I'll tell you this one. This is kind of funny. There was a vegan bodybuilder that posts online in social media quite a bit. And even though he's got big muscles and everything, when I look into his eyes, and this is just me, I'm not trying to throw this on everybody else or anything like this, so I'm not even going to give his name because that's not even the important part on that. I look in his eyes and they're empty. They're distant. It's like, I know this is going to sound strange. Some of you will understand what I mean by this. And if you don't, it's just, I'm trying to describe something from my vantage point. But, you know, In my work as a minister, I've dealt with a lot of really, what you might say, demonized people. Anyways, so this bodybuilder has that same glassy-eyed look that many demonized people have. And of course, I didn't call him that. You know, hey, you're demonized because you eat a vegetable. That's not what I said. But I did post on there, sir, you look sickly. You know, look at, you know, your eyes are glassy and you may want to rethink this. And I was trying to be helpful. I know a lot of people don't think I was trying to be helpful. I was trying to be helpful. Boy, I had some lady jump all over me and say, well, you know, I'm 50-something. I forgot how old she said she was, 56 or something like that. And I'm all vegan, and I don't take any meds, and you take all kinds of meds. I went, wait a minute. I don't take any meds. I don't take any medications at all. And she says, well, I am almost as old as you, and you look so much older than me. So I brought up her picture. And I looked at it and I went, oh, wait a minute. Say what you want about how I look in the sense of how old I may or may not look. That's okay. It doesn't really bother me. But this woman, she she had that dry haystack hair, pasty skin, dark circles under her eyes, and more wrinkles on her face than me. And she tried to tell me how much better she looks than me. And I'm just like, okay, you know, whatever floats your boat, but trust me, regardless of what I look like or don't look like, you look horrible. I didn't put that. I just chose not to. Okay, I'm just going to stop this argument right here because I don't want to get into personal attack. She's trying to make it a personal attack. I'm not going to do that. And I just dropped it. But boy, she looked terrible. And honestly, with that one, just little bit of dialogue with her, it proved my point. At least to me, it proved my point. That one, she was in this state of mind that really thought that when she looked in the mirror, she saw something beautiful. You know, I'm talking physically. Maybe she was a wonderful person on the inside, okay? Maybe she was a terrific person on the inside. You know how a lot of people say, oh, she's not very good looking on the outside, but she got a great personality. I don't know. Maybe she had a great personality. But I'm just judging by what I can see on the outside, and it wasn't much to look at. All right? She looked actually, honestly, she looked sickly. Big dark circles under her eyes, pasty skin, you know, really super dry hair. Now, I can't say anything about that because I don't even have any hair. So, you know, I'm not trying to necessarily put her down and say, I'm better looking because I'm bald. No. I'm just being honest with you that if she's going to try to use her looks to justify her lifestyle of being a vegan, she should figure out something else because that's not working for her. I don't think there's going to be too many people on this planet that look at her and go, wow, what's your secret? I'm going to do what you do. Oh, vegan? Oh, I want to look just like you. Dry haystack hair, pasty skin, and dark circles under my eyes. I can't wait, ladies and gentlemen. So anyways, when you get into looking at veganism and all that, it is possible. You can get your proteins and all of that stuff that you need, but you have to work very, 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 very hard at it. Because a lot of people just start eating fruits and vegetables, and then after they get sick of just eating plain fruits and vegetables, then they start trying to, and it's always weird. Vegans always try to make their plants taste like meat. And the only way to do that is to throw in a bunch of things and to process those plants in such a way that it strips them of nutrients and nutrition. So they want their plants to taste like hamburger or a steak, but by doing that, they're stripping it of the nutrition that they claim that they're getting from eating just plants. Or another way is to not only have the plants, but have a whole bunch of chemicals added to it. And go, really, I'm being serious. If you ever wonder about this, when next time you're in the supermarket, go down the frozen food aisles. Sometimes it might be in the meat aisle where they have the, what are some of the names of the fake meat, you know, plant-based fake meat. And just look at the ingredients. And I kind of have a rule of thumb. If the food like that is supposed to be, okay, it's supposed to be like meat, right? So when I go buy a steak, you know how many ingredients are in there? One, beef. When I go buy a chicken, you know how many ingredients are in there? One, chicken. I want to go buy a near burger, whatever. I don't even know what they call them. Anyways, near burger or plant-based burger or something like that. How many ingredients? I mean, there could be 10. 15, some of those things I can't even read. I can't even pronounce them. And they're putting that in their body and claiming it's a healthier lifestyle. And they're saving these little people called chickens and piglets and little cows and trying to be healthy. Anyways, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, I don't even know how I got on this. I mean, but it's a frustration of mine, not because people want to choose to be vegan. That's your choice. Go for it. If all you want to eat for the rest of your life is broccoli burgers, go for it. You want to go eat some of that fake meat? Oh, be my guest. It's your choice. You do it. But the moment you start to try to make me feel bad for my lifestyle choices, especially in something that, number one, is okay with God because God told us we can eat this. And secondly, yeah, it's just right and it's healthier. Like I said, when I go get a steak, it's a single ingredient food group. Steak, beef. I go get a chicken, single ingredient, chicken. Now, I might doctor it up with a little bit of barbecue sauce or something like that, but not all of those weird fillers to try to make a plant, a piece of broccoli, taste like a steak. It's ridiculous. If you're going to be a vegan, just eat your vegetables and be quiet about it. Anyways. I don't even know how I got off on all of that. Man, these vegans are getting under my skin. I just have to let it all out. But anyways, with that, you know, there's been so many things happening in our world. Like I said, we were in Missouri. We had a great retreat, a phenomenal retreat. Just it was refreshing. There was a lot of ministry to us without it really being to us. It was just being in that group of people and being in those ministry settings, and it was just so refreshing. And I haven't had that on that level for a long, 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 long time. A lot of reasons is because, you know, I'm head of my church here in Lancaster, so I'm doing most of the ministry, and I'm not complaining about it. I enjoy it. I love it. But it's nice to just sit back with and not have to really pour out, but now get refilled. So that was very, very, very nice. So to my CI family, I just want to say thank you. Thank all of you for what you've been doing and everything. So with that, God bless you guys. Now I'm not gone. Don't leave. I was God blessing the CI people. So, but, you know, we're doing a lot of things here. As a matter of fact, tonight, this will probably be posted after the fact, but tonight is the AVRA, the Antelope Valley Republican Association meeting at our church. My lovely wife is the president, and they're doing great things, and they're moving and motivating. And you know what we're trying to do? When I say we, really my wife and the group, but wait, we, because I'm a member, what we're trying to do is get a younger group or younger people come on to breathe new life into the Antelope, not just the Republican Party, but even in the Antelope Valley. We just need new life. And it's, you know, and I say this carefully. I say this not to put anybody down, so please don't misunderstand me. But a lot of these political groups are a bunch of older people. And unfortunately, here's what happens. So when you have a political group that's really kind of solid, it's usually a bunch of older people. The problem, if you will, is just the obvious. They don't have the energy to get out there and do what they did when they were in their 20s and such. And that's understandable, and that's okay. It's just, you know, but it just becomes a problem when you don't have those 20 and 30-year-olds that have the energy to go out and do the work, you know, in that regard. Then you have the political organizations that is young people, and they have a lot of energy. And unfortunately, I don't know why, but unfortunately, that's typically on the left. And what they ended up doing is they end up creating like the AOCs of the world. You know, from New York, that crazy lady with the bug eyes and all that, always can't even form a coherent sentence. And she's like the, you know, the princess of the Democrat Party. You know, really strange. So if you have the younger groups, they tend to be like that. Now, again, that's more on the liberal side. On the Republican side, you know, we need to breathe some breath, fresh air into our party. Keep the older generation there because they have the wisdom. They've been around. They know the game. Help them train up and teach and motivate the younger ones who have the energy. They'll learn the wisdom and everything else as they work with the older group. We can't just have them older group over here, younger group over there, because the older group will have a lot of wisdom. The discussions in those groups will be phenomenal, power-packed, in-depth, but it won't leave that room for the most part. You got the younger group over here, chaos. And then what do? Let's go out and do something, and it's usually chaotic. And I haven't seen that a lot with the Republicans. But I'm just being honest with what I have seen in the political world. And so we need to marry those together. So Republicans out there, you conservatives, understand this. You older ones, when I'm saying older, like I'm pushing 60, so I'm a little bit in that group. But say from 60-ish up, we desperately need you in the party. You've been around, you know some things, you've learned some things, you've raised your kids, you've saved. You're either retired or close to being retired. You know how the game works. But we also need the younger people because they're going to be the ones that are out there on the streets. They're the ones going to be knocking on doors. They're going to be the ones that are primarily handing out the flyers and talking to people and doing that kind of thing. And we see those types of things. And I appreciate groups such as, you know, Charlie Kirk with TPUSA and those. A lot of young people working in there and with them doing the work, but we need the older ones. What I love about what Charlie Kirk has done, besides just getting political and talking about these things, conservative values on college campuses and such, which is much needed, he's also surrounded himself with older gentlemen, older men, women that know, that have already been there, done that. As a matter of fact, you know, it's funny, just reminded me, I have a friend who has a dojo out here, and of course everybody calls him Sensei. And he was saying what Sensei means is it means one who has gone before. And I thought that was profound. I didn't know that's what sensei meant. I just thought sensei meant like teacher or coach in Japanese, I guess. But it's one who's already gone ahead, been there, done that. That's a sensei, somebody who's been there and done that. And now he can teach people coming into those situations how to maneuver that situation. You know, he could teach them the good, the bad, ugly, and different, help them in the process of going through that situation themselves. So in that case, with a actual sensei, it's martial arts. He's already been there. He's been in the dojos. He's been in the schools. He's been in the fights. He's been in the, you know, in the arenas, in the rings and everything. He knows. He's taught. He's become, at least on some level, a master. So when somebody else comes in that doesn't have his experience, he's the sensei. He's the been there, done that guy, and can show people how to get there and do that themselves and help them through the process. And hopefully, if he can help them get there faster than what it took him, unless he had a great sensei, of course. Why? Because he knows what to teach them, when to teach them, how to teach them, so they're not wasting their time trying to do something that just doesn't work or it doesn't have as much value. They give him the best. And so we need that again in our Republican Party. The Republican Party, unfortunately, not 100%, this is not a perfect science, ladies and gentlemen, but it's unfortunately became, in many areas, in many ways, the party of old white people. And what we need to do is be a party of the people, you know, and the Democrats have hailed that and kind of tried to take that, oh, they're the party for the little people, the working class, they're the party of the working class. And the more you get to know them, that's an absolute lie. They lie about everything, Democrats. They lie to get their foot in everything. They even lie, absolutely flat lie, about being the party of the little guy, of the working class. No, they're not. They're the ones that tax the working class like crazy and leave the working class with nothing. And then they blame the Republicans. They do that even in California, and there's very few Republicans in any position of authority. So we've got to become the true party of the people. And help the American people and wherever we're at here, AV, Antelope Valley, help them to come on board and understand conservative values and Republican values. Because once they do, they start to wake up and go, oh, wait a minute, I align more with the Republicans or the conservatives than I do the Democrats. And most, I'm not going to say all, but most all Americans do. As a matter of fact, many, I'm not going to say all, but many Democrats are just that one, you know, that one item or that one position voters. You know, they don't care about anything else but abortion. Okay, well, the Democrats can have those knuckleheads because they're of no value anywhere else, you know, or those people that care about nothing but LGBT and homosexual rights. Again, the left can have them. Why? Because they're of no value anywhere else but that one little sliver. And that doesn't make sense to me. Most Americans, most human beings in general, but most Americans are concerned with so many other things than just one highlighted policy or idea. They want to know that their kids are getting a great education, so they're big on education. They want to know that they're not going to be taxed to death, so they could put something away, have a little something at the end of the year, maybe take a vacation, or at the end of their life, or at the end of their career, I should say, so that they can retire comfortably. They want to know that our borders are secure. Most all human beings, but especially Americans, most all Americans understand how important it is to have secure borders. And before anybody says, no, that's not true, then I'll tell you what, starting tonight, you leave your doors open, your gates open, your windows open to your house when you go to bed. Just do it. Leave your garage open. Leave your garage, your doors, your windows unlocked and open, because that's the equivalent to having open borders. I don't know anybody, especially in California, ladies and gentlemen, where we have this big, huge liberal lean about open borders, but not one of those open border junkies leaves their doors, windows, garage doors open at night. Because why? They know that an intruder, uninvited, is going to end up coming into their house, stealing, maybe raping, maybe killing them. That's what open borders is, ladies and gentlemen. I know, no, they're not all rapists. Listen, They're not all rapists. They're not all murderers. They're not all drug dealers. But if we just let in one, and that one goes and rapes, kills, murders, sells drugs, just one, isn't that worth closing down the borders and then vetting people who come in? The same way you expect somebody to knock on your door. You go to the door and open the door and the screen is locked and you can see through the screen who this person is. Is this friend or foe? Are they here to be with you because you like them, they like you, or are they there to hurt you or harm you? You make that decision before you open that screen and let them in. Anyways, again, that's a no-brainer. These people that fuss against that, they may as well just be vegans. Anyways, so every American understands these certain things that lines up with conservative values. We all want freedom of religion, meaning that if you're Catholic, that you're free to go to a Catholic church as often as you want. If you're a Protestant, or if you're like me, charismaniac, you're free to go to your charismaniac church as often as you want. And the government can't step in and tell you what to teach or what not to teach, what to do or what not to do. You know, as a matter of fact, all in Australia right now, see, these things are being lost all around the world, and it's tried here. Thank God there's enough Americans that still stand up and go, no, stop it. But in Australia, did you know, ladies and gentlemen, in certain areas of Australia, certain provinces of Australia, if a pastor in a church speaks against homosexuality and calls it a sin, he could be arrested. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Australia. We're not talking about communist China. We're not talking about Russia. We're not talking about any of these communist places. We're talking about Australia. Throw another shrimp on the Barbie, Australia. Isn't that weird? Because I'll tell you something. When I found that out, when I heard this, and I found that it's true. But when I looked at this, it just, I came from the Crocodile Dundee era, you know, where men are men. And he's out there wrestling crocodiles. And he's got that huge knife. Now, that's a knife. You know, he's got that huge knife. And he's tough. And if you ever saw the first Crocodile Dundee movie, you understand his take and, you know, on transgenderism. You just have to watch it, ladies and gentlemen. That ain't no Sheeler. But so we went from that in Australia, men, to now that if you even say anything, a pastor in his own church, in his own pulpit, if he says anything, if he says homosexuality is a sin, they'll come and arrest you. How far has Australia and other places, even in the United States, fallen in such a short period of time? It's so wild to me. So anyways, Republicans, we're going to get our party healthy and whole. When I say whole, full of people of all walks of life, all ages, old and young alike, and it doesn't matter the color of the skin. You know, I know a lot of people, those Republicans are racist. You know, no, that is one of the dumbest things for anybody to buy into. But we're going to expand. Everybody's welcome. You're just welcome to come in, adhere to the principles and the policies and such, and let's take. You know, we talk about MAGA, we talk about Make America Great Again. Let's actually do it. I know President Trump is doing his best, but it's time for all of us, we the people, to rise up and make America great again. It shouldn't be Trump's movement. It should be we the people's movement. And I know a lot of people say it is, but let's truly make it that. Not just say it, let's do it. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I think I went on too long. No, not really. But God bless you all. And I really hope there's so much I wanted to talk about. I'm going to cut this one off and maybe do another one right on top of this, because there's so much to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. There's so much going on. A lot of good, but a lot of crazy too, like what's going on in Australia, you know. So anyways, have a fantastic, blessed day. And I really pray that everyone that listens will just be blessed abundantly in so many ways. And if you don't know Jesus, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Cry out to him. He'll save you. You'll be his. Find a good church. I mean, a really good church, a Christian church. And get tapped into the Christian family, to Christ's body and the Christian family. You won't regret it. Your life will change for the better all the way around. So God bless you all. And, I hope to meet some of you very soon. Thank you for joining us at Table Flippers. Table Flippers Podcast is a ministry of Greater Works Christian Church in Lancaster, California. You can find us on the web. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. Look for us at Greater Works Christian Church or Table Flippers. I hope to see you soon.